with Will Johnson. Only at band.video.
Welcome, welcome. Firepower. Firepowernews.com. Thank you. We have an exciting show again for you tonight. Please tune in. Band.video. Band.video. So, of course, everyone has been glued to the tube today about the hearing, impeachment. Nadler and the Democrats, they're still at their old tricks. The Democrats can't even help themselves when it comes to making themselves looking like useful idiots. They can't even help it. Last week, Andrew McCabe hit the airwaves and he was going to be indicted for his role for trying to prevent Trump becoming president in 2016. Right after that announcement, I mean, if you probably timed it, it was probably seconds. They couldn't wait to bring it out. Right after that announcement, the House committee opened up a hearing for impeachment. Isn't that convenient? And guess what? All of the liberal media dropped the talking points about Andrew McCabe. And they started talking about impeachment of President Trump because they want him out just as bad as the Dems on the Hill do. They can't stand President Trump. President Trump will call him out constantly. How very fake news they are. To keep everyone from thinking about Andrew McCabe, they came up with another impeachment. Brett Kavanaugh. Seriously. And this one was from the New York Times. I don't know about you, but I don't see anything different between the New York Times and BuzzFeed. Neither one is valid. Neither one care about the truth based on the reporting from their own network. A lady, the lady that they're all talking about, she doesn't even say she will recall the incident taking place. So what are they talking about? And what's really amazing is that after the liberal media found out that it wasn't even true, the liberal media still ran with the story. They still kept going on with it. It was to the point they were like, yes, he needs to be impeached. Impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. It's like the liberal media was standing outside of Brett Kavanaugh's office with pitchforks. He needs to go. Surprisingly, I didn't hear anything about hashtag believe the women. Because this woman said that it didn't even happen. So they couldn't even use it. It's amazing. So now the lamestream media, of course, they're continuing on with the lie after they found out. And we even had presidential candidates wanted to impeach Kavanaugh, Elizabeth Warren, and Kamala Harris. See, I bring the two of them up because I believe that they are going to be the candidates running in a general election for the 2020 election. I said 22. It's 2020. So let me ask you this. Why in the world should we give the keys to the country to Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or any of these Democrats when they're going to believe every single lie that comes out about President Trump, about Brett Kavanaugh? Okay? So, please go to band.video, click on my picture. And once you click on my picture, I like saying this, you click on my picture and you can go and watch the live feed. Share that link. So let's head on in the studio. Tonight we have a special guest that's going to be joining us, Bill Warren. He's going to be joining us here at the top of the hour. Very, very good information he has. He's going to be laying it all out about Islam and about how the Muslim culture is coming to America. And also we have in studio with us tonight, Tom Peppert. He's going to be joining us live on the set. So please share the video, share the link, band.video, firepowernews.com, and join us. Tell all of your friends and all of your family to tune in. Because you need to hear the information that we're talking about tonight about how Islam is going to try to take over this country and how they're doing it with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in a minute. We'll be right back. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Like I said, we have Bill Warner. He's very good. So Bill Warner, PhD, is a respected expert on political Islam, is an international speaker, author, and video blogger. Warner analyzed Islam doctrine using scientific method and evaluation of the Islamic trilogy of the Quran, the Sharia, Muhammad's biography, and the Hadith, the traditions of Muhammad. Warner found a center of study of political Islam. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Warner. We have Tom Pepper. He's riding shotgun with me in the studio tonight. I'm glad you're not having storms tonight, and I'm glad that you're able to join us.
Maybe we need to tell the audience that last time, 2 minutes before I was ready to go on, the power went off in my house. I thought it was a storm. It turned out I just hadn't paid my bill.
Yeah, then I heard you had a beeping in the background. So right. So you know what? I've talked to you maybe a year and a half ago, almost 2 years probably. And, you know, I just love all your information and your videos that you've been putting out. One question that I have for you, there's like two class of people in America, when it comes to political Islam. Most say Muslims are harmless and the other believe that they're very dangerous. What say you?
Well, first off, I don't talk about Muslims. Except for one Muslim. His name is Muhammad. And this is my way of doing things. I just talk about what Muhammad said and did, and I talk about what's in the Quran. So I don't talk about Muslims as such at all, other than to say they obey this law or they're following the Sharia or something like that. So my method is to discuss only one Muslim, not okay. Muslims as a whole.
Very
because,
good.
Because, let's face it, Muslims are human beings, and there are all kinds of them. If you try to learn about Islam for Muslims, let me ask you this. Which of the nearly 2 billion of them do you ask? So.
Good question.
Muhammad.
Good question. So do you think the American people should be concerned about the teachings of Muhammad in America?
Absolutely. I think even if you don't pay much attention to Islam, you can notice something. And that thing you can notice is that Islam is becoming constantly more and more powerful and more insidious in its power. I mean, if you're going to study Islam, you will study it in Tennessee textbooks. And by the way, the Islam you study will be a wonderful golden age Islam that was better than anything that the Christians or the Europeans could have come up with. So this is an indication of the rise in power of Islam in the sense that textbooks are now, they comply with the Sharia, which is Islamic law.
Yeah, I know they're teaching the pillars of Islam in the school districts. Cause, I know I talked to young students when I was in California and they were showing that. Do you think the agenda to infiltrate America is real? Or is it something that, or do you think it's just like a talking point you have those on the right will say?
Well, first off, let's go back and say what Islam says. Islam says that it is to rule all of the world. That all of the world must submit to Sharia, that all of the world must do things the way Muhammad did it. So there you have your marching orders. You say, is it dangerous in terms of its expansion? It's fundamentally based on expanding. That is, let's notice something about Islam. Muhammad preached the religion of Islam for 13 years and converted only 150 people. This was in Mecca. So he went to Medina where he became a politician and a jihadist. And when he died, every Arab on the peninsula was a Muslim. So we find that political Islam is very effective, whereas religious Islam is who cares.
Okay, so we have a clip of yours that we like to play. And if we can go ahead and play that now, and then we'll come back and talk more about it.
All right. Why political Islam is winning in the United States and why we are losing. Oh, about election time, I got all kinds of panic because all of a sudden there were candidates who were Muslim who were running for office and they won. The triumph of the Muslims who ran for office was planned 20 years ago. Whereas most people's response to this event was simply, what? They're running for office? They told you they were going to run for office 20, 30 years ago. So what we see here is that Islam is capable of fantastic strategic planning. We have a near enemy and a far enemy. The near enemy are those who support Islam, even though they're not Muslims, the far enemy is political Islam itself. What's killing us is the near enemy. I, for instance, have never been harmed by a Muslim. I've never been threatened by a Muslim. Do you know who takes me down at the knees? Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Then we go to move into the churches. We have churches who are absolute silent in the face of persecution around the world. Yes. We used free speech in demonstrations. We use free speech in civil disobedience. We need to develop a bit a little more sass so that we, as a group, present ideas that we cannot present as individuals. Talk about things that we need to do. So we need a lot more free speech, and it needs to be radical in the sense of we need to be offending our enemies. Right now, we don't want to offend anybody.
You know what? That's, you know, that's very good. And that's what it is. We don't want to offend anybody. Don't offend anyone's feelings. You don't want to hurt them. Their feelings, you know, we have to like pay attention to their feelings. So in the video, you suggest that the Muslims, there's a way that we can stop them. Exactly how can we stop this infiltration? What do you suggest?
To cut a diamond, you need a diamond. To deal with Islam, you must deal with it with Islam. That is, you need to deal with what Islam actually is. So that's the way we deal with it. Now, we also need to deal with the history of Islam. When I said in that video that it was planned 20 years ago, that is very seriously true. Look, I respect my enemies, and the Muslim Brotherhood is the most formidable opponent you will ever have. They do it all right. They do long-range planning. They have all the money they need, and they have all the influence they can wield. So what we discover is that we are the problem. Islam is not the problem. Islam is not a problem at all. We're the problem. We are so nice. We're eaten up with the desire to be nice to everybody. And by the way, I don't have any problem with nice, but as a steady diet of it, it's like living on cotton candy. And that's kind of where we are. We're not taking this seriously. Yeah. The reason we don't take it seriously is if you do take it seriously, such as I do, you'll wind up being criticized by, oh my goodness, the left.
Yeah, you know what? You said something in the video at the very end that was really profound to me. And it's not Islam. It's those who are supporting them that don't even follow the Islam belief because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And like, for example, like the big tech companies, you know, if you go out, like, I know it happened to you with the censorship. You go out there and you speak the truth, and you're not, and I've watched plenty of your videos, and not a single time have I ever seen you say we need to be violent towards anybody.
No.
But because you speak the truth, but you're only simply speaking the truth, and because the truth that you're, but you, because you're coming out with the truth, it's like they're getting upset with it because you're exposing them for what they really are.
By the way, I think that we should welcome Muslims coming to run for political office, and here's why. What do they do with people like me? And you may be experienced with this yourself. They deplatform me. Mm-hmm. All right? They don't want to give me room to speak. They don't want to give me a soapbox to stand on. But if you're running for office, it's a public event. We need to welcome Muslims who want to run for office, school boards, senators, Congress, whatever, because we need to take it for every time they appear in public, we should have our own people there who are going to ask difficult questions, wave signs, and hand out brochures about the true nature of Islam. That is, do you realize that if you're voting for Islam, this candidate, that you're bringing in a little more Sharia? Or we need to ask the candidate themselves the question, such as, would you condemn Muhammad for marrying Aisha when she was a child? Mm. So we need to come up with tough questions, because yeah, this is an opportunity. The
you know what?
Process gives us a format we can all be open there about.
Yep. You know what? I completely agree with you. The only problem with that I've seen is that they'll deplatform those people for asking those difficult questions. Even if you're a news reporter, they'll come down on you. I've seen it happen. We have a Laura Loomer. She was asking questions of like Rashida Tlaib, and they deplatformed her. So they don't even want you to ask difficult questions. I mean, it's amazing that they control the situation, and they control the thought process with people, how they want people to think. Bill, please hold tight. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to talk more about it when we get on the other side of this break. We'll see you in a minute. Firepower.
Extra.
All right, we are back. Firepower News, riding shotgun with me in studio live, Tom Pepper. We have Bill Warner on Skype with us. We're talking to him about Islam in America and what we should do. And I think the best person for that is Mr. Bill Warner himself, PhD. Bill, I have a video clip that I would like to play for you and to get your thoughts and your views on this clip. And this is from Muhammad Tawhidi. I don't want to butcher it. So, he talks about, Christianity in America. So let's play this clip for Bill, and then we'll come back and get your opinion on it.
Look, I am a Muslim, but I cannot live in an Islamist theocracy. I can live in a Christian government based on their constitution, because that is where peace lies. I can't live in a place where ISIS rules the area. That's no Muslim with a brain that works would want to live under ISIS, right? And when we come to the West trying to warn the governments and intelligence agencies about what is happening, about the people we fled from, we have this new political correctness agenda that tells us, oh, we're the racist, we're the ones who are traitors, and the extremist needs to be understood and embraced, and, you know, they have a point, let's listen to them. And sooner or later, they're in parliament, they're in government, and they you go in America, you have Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib changing the narrative in Washington that is now affecting the whole, influencing and affecting the narrative around the world, attacking Jews, attacking Christians, and this is just the beginning. So if Christians don't wake up, Christian leaders don't wake up, then we Muslims who fled from extremists can't help you anymore. We tried warning.
Yeah, you know what? Muhammad Tawhidi has a very good point. I mean, it's a very good point. If people don't wake up, we're going to be in trouble. And it's almost like, it leads right into one of the questions I have for you. What is the biggest hurdle that you've had trying to educate people about this whole situation?
They just don't want to know. A guy told me, he says, you're like a man whose best friend is married to the most beautiful woman in the world and she's worth $1 billion. Now, the only thing is she's cheating on her husband, but he doesn't want to know that. Because if he finds out she's cheating on him, then he'll have to do something about the problem. And so I think that people are, you know, we seem to have lost the ability to go to war and become morally outraged.
Mm.
This is one of my comments. I find that Christians are not capable of moral outrage anymore. When they rape Christian women, doesn't seem to bother the Christians. When they kill Christians in Nigeria, doesn't seem to bother the Christians. So I find that people are difficult to get outraged anymore. And I think a little outraged goes a long way towards leading a good life. Now, I don't advocate that for a constant diet, but we need to be able to become outraged. But people don't want to know about this because we're too comfortable, we're too good looking, and we're too rich. That's our problem.
I can see that, you know, and a lot of people just want to ignore the problem, and maybe it'll go away. Is that what it, I mean, would you say just ignore the problem and maybe it'll go away?
It's not going away. Or if it's going to go away, how come it didn't go on? How hasn't gone away in the last 1400 years?
Mm.
By the way, I'd like to make some comments about Tawhidi later, but it doesn't have to be done now.
Okay. So let me ask you. So I have one more question for you and then we can get into that. And it's, I guess it's kind of like, from the last question, how has America been nice? I mean, how has America been nice and allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to influence our schools and government?
Well, we're doing all that because we're tolerant people, Will. As a matter of fact, we're discovering that there's absolutely nothing we won't tolerate as long as it'll let us lead our happy life. And by the way, I have nothing against happiness. But there are times we need to get down and do some difficult work, that the plumbing needs to be fixed in the basement or whatever it is. You may not want to do it, but it's got to be done. So I guess I'm sort of old school. I think if difficult jobs present themselves, you should put the more effort to it and do the job that needs to be done.
Mm, mm.
But this is not, so this is not a common position, by the way.
Okay. So you said you want to get into something. You go ahead and do that. And then Mr. Tom Pepper has a question for you.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Tawhidi, the imam you just showed us on the screen.
Uh-huh.
He's very puzzling. You need to know one thing about Tawhidi. He is a Shia Muslim. And he does not like the Sunnis at all, and particularly doesn't like ISIS. ISIS in Iraq, what they did was they killed the apostates, which is what they call the Shia. So when you're listening to him, you need to understand that he has his own agenda. And he seems to be a very pleasant man. I'm not discussing him as a person. It's just that he has an agenda, which is he is a Shia Muslim, and he would like to enlist our help, the Kafir, to push against the Sunni Muslims, which I don't think is going to happen.
So speaking sort of Tawhidi, my question is there a way that Islam can be reformed? Is there a way that we can live in peace with people who are Muslim, or is it just by and large going to be the Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib type?
That's probably number one or two on the top three question list. I only wish that what you were saying is true, and it seems like a normal thing to say. Well, why don't we just reform Islam? Let's start off with what we're trying to reform. Islam, let's define the term first. Now, here's the engineer scientist coming on me. Islam is the doctrine found in the Quran and the Sirah and the Hadith. Let's examine briefly why we have to do that. Most people think that Islam is found in the Quran and it's a religion. But when you read the Quran, there's something very peculiar about it. And the thing that's peculiar is you can't practice Islam by what's in the book. There's not enough there. But there are 89 verses which say that every Muslim is to follow Muhammad in everything they do. And we get Muhammad out of his biography, the Sirah, and his traditions, the Hadith. So that's what we would have to reform. Now we've had the little background lesson. Now let me ask you this. The Quran is perfect. It is perfect in its words. It's perfect in its punctuation. It's perfect in everything about it. It has not the slightest error. Now, how do you reform perfection? I just ask you that question.
Which is, of course, it's impossible. Right.
Or do you want to add something to it? Can't do that. And Muhammad, for wherever who he was and what he did, he's with us because his example is written down in the book called the Sirah. That's his life. How do you change a book that's been written 1,200 years ago? What do you do about it? Do you take something out? Do you add something to it? Do you see where I'm going with this?
Absolutely.
It's like you say to me, Bill, I find circles be hard to hold up. Let's put some corners on them so I can hold the circle better. When you put corners on a circle, you don't have a circle anymore.
So we've only got like a minute left.
Not a circle.
We've only got just under a minute left, but I'm curious. So then would you agree that when it comes to Islam, this is not just another religion. This is more like a political ideology.
It is a complete way of civilization. One of the things to mark an amateur is he said Islam is a religion. Islam is a complete civilization, which includes its own legal code, its own moral code, it's everything. So it's not, if it were just a religion, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I'd be out having a beer.
Well, cool. Tell everyone how they can contact you, because I know the censorship is really big right now. So tell everyone how they can get a hold of you and contact you and share your stuff.
Well, you can go to my website, politicalislam.com. You can be amused on YouTube. But I advise you to go to politicalislam.com. And I don't really sell books. What I sell are systems of learning, so that you can start off, you can sit down and very easily become more knowledgeable about Islam than just about anybody you'll meet, including almost most Muslims.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, Bill Warner. We'll be...
Real news, real people, real politics. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, we are back. Now, we're going to start talking about impeachment. Tom Pepper's in studio live, and we're going to start talking about impeachment. I know you were on an airplane today, and you didn't get a chance to see everything. And, I mean, there's so much going on. Who can see everything? But you know what? One of the things that took place today was the hearing of the impeachment. Now they're in the House Democrats. They're all just trying to get at President Trump any way they can. So we have a clip that with Representative Doug Collins, his opening statement was absolutely beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And it's worth playing the entire thing again. So our crew's going to cue that up, and they're going to play that for us. And you haven't seen it.
I've seen bits, but I want to see the whole thing.
I've got to see it. Whole thing in its entirety, because the Democrats, they become completely butthurt over it. So this is absolutely wonderful. I'm like, you know, Doug Collins became my new hero. so, So let's go ahead and play that clip, and then at the very end, we'll recap on it really quick before we go out to break. Let's go to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for introducing this hearing, which is now, as you said, under the new rules. You know, it's sort of the old school, the old rules of the new rules, the new rules of the old rules. These were rules that were here all along. And yet, here we go again. We're going to say that they're new because we like the packaging. I've never seen a majority so amazed with packaging in all my life. You know why? Because they can't sell what's inside. They can't sell the product. So they just keep packaging it differently. You know, I think we should call, I agree with my chairman, I think we should call this for what it is. It's just another simple override hearing. In fact, no, I think it's actually become this. It has become, let's read the Mueller report for audiobook. That's what we've become. We had Mr. Mueller here. Had a long day of it. Judging by all accounts, it didn't go real well. For the purpose of what you've proclaimed for over 9 months and almost 2 years, that there's impeachable offenses, as my chairman has said, clearly in the Mueller report. But here's the problem. 17 of the members of the Judiciary Committee have said that they think the president ought to be impeached. So why are we still investigating it? 17, you get some more. The problem is you don't have the votes. You don't have the numbers. And even if you got it out of this committee, you don't have it on the floor. That's your problem. So the thing that we're going to do is we're going to drag this committee through oversight hearings, talking about things that have been talked about ad nauseum. We're going to talk about it. We're going to put filters up. We're going to say what it really is or really is not. While in all the things, we're going to try to imply that this president shouldn't be president. You know, it is really interesting to me that we just heard a moment ago that was said that these made-up rules at DOJ. Well, it's interesting that now they're made-up rules. They wasn't made-up rules when Obama administration used them. Were they made-up rules then? Just asking for a friend. You know, this is amazing. As we come into this situation, the chairman also said that while we're doing this and stopping committees from searching into products like the immigration issue and foreign influence, I just want to remind everybody here watching and everybody here to see the show today, and also to remind the majority, that they have complete jurisdiction over immigration. We have complete and total jurisdiction over immigration for the most part. All we have to do is if you want to fix the border, put a bill up. You don't want to do that. You like this. You like having the press here. You like the cameras. Because it makes it appear like something's happened that's not. But the real thing is coming out, starting, the American people are starting to get it. They're starting to get it that if you're just howling at the wind, you're not doing anything. You're making them think you are, but you're not. So don't tell me, don't bring to me immigration anymore that you want to deal with. You just want to bring administration officials in here and yell at them for what you don't like is happening. And I agree, we need to fix it. Bring us a bill. Bring my bill. Bring your bill. But do something about it. Quit talking about it. Foreign influence. The only real thing we all agree on in the Mueller report was foreign influence from Russia. But yet, where's the bill? Where's the bill? Where's Waldo? Where's the bill? We don't do anything about it. We like to talk about it because we think it makes the president look bad. Because that's the implication we've been giving for 2 years. Unfortunately, we also don't really want information in this committee either. If we did, we'd work like the Intel Committee had done. You know, we've been had that issue before. They'd have to actually work with witnesses to get them to come in. Mr. Landowski, I believe, said he'd come without a subpoena, but yet we subpoenaed him anyway. Because it looks, as I was told earlier this year, from the chairman's perspective, a subpoena is a start of a dialogue. Not according to Black's Law Dictionary, but who cares? We're just the Judiciary Committee. This is the problem we're having. This committee does not want to interview Don McGahn behind closed doors. They want him in front of everybody. They want to do this out front. They don't try to actually get information. That's what real oversight is. Real oversight is trying to get information. But we don't do that. I understand it's tough making a promise and not keeping it. I understand. All of us in this room can relate to a time when we made a promise and we couldn't keep it. My majority made a promise. We'll impeach him. We'll investigate him. For most of them, it happened in November 2016 because they couldn't believe that Donald Trump won. And they still can't get over it today. So what do? We have public hearings, lots of flashbulbs, embarrassing the president, not gathering facts, not investigating, not doing oversight. This is certainly not being fair, but we like to issue subpoenas. We're setting a world record at that. 40 times faster than the previous chairman. But we don't want any answers because we're not willing to engage in dialogue to get information from folks. And you know how I believe that this is more just wanting to get it here? Is because it's not like Mr. Lewandowski has had silent witness on this issue. He's testified before Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He's testified before House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And now he's also voluntarily testified for the special counselor, by the way, it's Mr. Mueller. And we've had access to all of his summaries of his testimony. This is not new. But yet it is new because it's another time to rehash an old story. You know, this is the fall. This is when ABC and NBC and all the broadcast folks, they bring out their new shows. This isn't the summer rerun season. We should get into something new, but I just want to show you one last thing before I turn it back over and, you know, we'll get the popcorn and the show going. The Judiciary Committee is the Judiciary Committee for a reason. It's because we oversee the court system. And for any person who has actually been here, and actually an attorney in this room who's actually appeared before a judge is pretty stickler for rules. And I just want to point out something. It may be trivial, and I know some will laugh and some won't care, but for some of us it does matter. The subpoena today for Mr. Lewandowski and the others said 10 a.m. this morning. This just shows you how impulsive and poorly designed this entire sort of faux impeachment charade we're doing. The subpoena is not even properly. The subpoenas were here for all three to compel them at 10 o'clock this morning. But today's hearing's at 1, not 10. The witnesses lack appropriate notice for the hearing today. That's a simple, basic subpoena issue. But we're the Judiciary Committee. I can understand this, and no offense, Natural Resources, I can understand if they get it wrong. Or transportation. I don't understand how judiciary gets this wrong. The chairman wants to hold people in contempt for not showing up. Try to enforce this in court. Because there's no extra letter. There's no clarification of time. And when I was given a subpoena for my client to appear in court, what time do you appear in court? Whenever you feel like it? No, at the time it says. Unless the court or the officer giving the subpoena says differently. The chairman's only option for success here is to issue, well, we could do this, I guess, because we've wasted enough time on other things. We reissue new subpoenas with a new date, new time, and hold a new hearing. There's probably a date somewhere in October we haven't filled up with this mess somewhere. Here we go. Mr. Chairman, there's so much that we could actually do together. There's so much. But as long as we don't have time, we'll continue with rerun season. Popcorn still tastes good. I don't know why we do this, except maybe we just have...
that popcorn.
Cyanide popcorn.
Maybe a deficiency of flashbulbs. I don't know. Because we just like the show. And the show is going to get even more... as it goes today, because the new rules are in effect. Oh, wait, they're not new. They're just old, but we're applying them today because we want it to look better. And I have one more of those we'll talk about later.
You know, Nadler, some other questions. Nadler is like, you can tell Nadler is not happy about anything that he just heard there. None of the Democrats are.
No, and then you have Lewandowski. You can tell he's desperately trying to hold back laughter with every fiber of his being.
Yeah, I know. It was just like, I just loved it. Doug Collins, he just ripped them up. He just ripped them up. Get the popcorn. We need to get some fresh popcorn, though, because I don't want any popcorn that's been around the Democrats. I mean, there's no telling what they put in it.
I don't trust it.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it either. All right, we'll be right back after this. This is Firepower. Will Johnson and Tom Pepper.
Never seen a majority so amazed with packaging in all my life. You know why? Because they can't sell what's inside. They can't sell the product. So they just keep packaging it differently. You know, I think we should call, I agree with my chairman, I think we should call this for what it is. It's just another simple oversight hearing. In fact, no, I think it's actually become this. It has become, let's read the Mueller report for audiobook. That's what we've become. We had Mr. Mueller here. Had a long day of it. Judging by all accounts, it didn't go real well. For the purpose of what you've proclaimed for over 9 months and almost 2 years, that there's impeachable offenses, as my chairman has said, clearly in the Mueller report. But here's the problem. 17 of the members of the Judiciary Committee have said that they think the president ought to be impeached. So why are we still investigating it? 17, you get some more. The problem is you don't have the votes. You don't have the numbers. Even if you got it out of this committee, you don't have it on the floor.
It's all politics. They're posturing.
So the thing that we're going to do is we're going to drag this committee through oversight hearings, talking about things that have been talked about ad nauseum. We're going to talk about it. We're going to put filters up. We're going to say what it really is or really is not.
Yeah, I still think it's to deflect about what happened with it.
I think you're right. And it's also, I mean, at what point is this in-kind advertising for the Democrat candidates? All they're doing is advertising for them.
Yeah. It's interesting that now they're made-up rules. They wasn't made-up rules when Obama administration used them. Were they made up rules then? Just asking for a friend. You know, this is amazing. As we come into this situation, the chairman also said that while we're doing this and stopping committees from searching into products like the immigration issue and foreign influence, I just want to remind everybody here watching and everybody here to see the show today, and also to remind the majority, that they have complete jurisdiction over immigration. We have complete and total jurisdiction over immigration for the most part. All we have to do is, if you want to fix the border, put a bill on it.
Remember, Will, there's no crisis. That was, what, 6 months ago?
Exactly.
There's no crisis. There's a crisis when they can use it in their favor, right?
That's right. That's right.
Real thing, and it's coming out, starting, the American people are starting to get it. They're starting to get it that if you're just howling at the wind, you're not doing anything. You're making them think you are, but you're not. So don't tell me, don't bring to me immigration anymore that you want to deal with it. You just want to bring administration officials in here and yell at them for what you don't like is happening. And I agree, we need to fix it. Bring us a bill, bring my bill, bring your bill, but do something about it. Quit talking about it.
Yeah, you know what? He's absolutely right. They're wasting time, they're wasting money. They could actually be doing something that's going to benefit the American people. But what do? They bring this up, and I'm going to keep saying it. I think they're doing it to deflect, to get people's mind off of what's actually happening in the country.
No, you're definitely onto something there, because and it's so masterful. I mean, there's like a multi-layered, multi-pronged, faceted thing that's happening here. One, they're giving in-kind advertising to the Democrat candidates. They're making it seem like, oh, we have this big orange dictator in office who takes orders from Putin. We got to get rid of him. That's what this is. CNN's going to be playing this nonstop, and they're going to be saying the opposite. What we're saying. Now, the second part of this is we have this Andrew McCabe character. This is so devastating. We have essentially an entire administration that could very well be implicated in election meddling. Mm. So instead, it's a rerun season, as Colin said. It's rerun season, and we're eating stale popcorn.
You would think that they would want to look into Andrew McCabe to find out the truth.
Right.
I mean, what happened to honest reporting? I mean, we're not getting that from CNN or MSNBC or ABC, the rest of the Alphabet Network soup group. We're not getting that from any of them, and they're not going to.
No.
I mean, it's like they all have this collective agenda. They're colluding with each other to try to take out the president. And when impeachment comes up, they're like, oh yeah, kids in the candy store. And then Nancy Pelosi, she's handing out subpoenas like it is candy. I mean, and you know, for them to hand out a subpoena at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. before the hearing, knowing for a fact that he's still coming, he already volunteered to come, says a lot about the Democrat Party.
That's exactly right. I mean, they're very conniving people is what it really says.
They're
to me.
Devious.
That's right. They're devious. They're not good actors. They're not going into this with a good mindset. And of course, it really comes down to the fact that they wanted to get Lewandowski up mm-hmm. there. They wanted to try to make him look bad. And instead, they all looked like absolute fools by the end of it. But you know what's frustrating, Will? As I was flying down here to Austin today, in every single airport, it's CNN spreading propaganda.
So they're still paying the airports to run their...
Exactly. And Will, with that, even this is how unpopular the Democrats are. This is how unpopular CNN is. With that, they still have probably their lowest ratings in history.
That's amazing. You're absolutely right. And thousands upon thousands of people go through those airports every day.
Right.
And it's like people see the propaganda on the screen and like, okay, you can probably change the channel now. So everyone, and you know what? Without even thinking about it, in the back of our mind, as soon as we see CNN, we're all thinking fake news.
That's exactly right.
I mean, we're all thinking, you don't even have to think it any longer. And that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why they hate President Trump so much. So this is another clip that from the hearing that you've got to see. And I'm pretty sure you haven't seen it being on an airplane. This is with Democrats getting butthurt because Vladimir Putin is basically saying that they're useful idiots, and we have a representative acknowledging it. So let's go to that clip, and then we'll get your response afterward.
Point of order. According to the rules, and the rules of this committee and the House rules, we cannot attribute derogatory names to our colleagues or motives to our colleagues. And I believe the gentleman said those on the other side of the aisle are idiots. This is a very sacred and somber responsibility.
He actually didn't say that, but they are idiots.
Like you did.
Listen to this.
I am concerned about the Constitution just as you are, and I would not engage.
She's lying.
She's not concerned about the Constitution.
None of these people are concerned with the Constitution. Not for decades.
Never in my life or my colleagues have we ever discussed behaving like idiots. Mr. Chairman.
Really?
Inappropriate terminology.
Where's she been? Because she's a total. Her and the rest of our colleagues.
Democrats, no matter what position they are.
Mr. Chairman, I will.
Now listen to this. Check this out.
I will overrule the point of order. The rules of decorum refer to motive. Calling someone an idiot is not flattering, but it does not go to motive. And I believe we should have the most robust debate. I believe we should respect.
He's like the definition of an idiot.
I don't think we should, I don't think that goes to motive, and accordingly.
Does he need another glass of water? What is happening with this guy?
Okay, listen to the response.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I didn't call anybody an idiot. I said useful idiot.
Useful idiot.
And secondly, I asked the witness.
Okay, stop it real quick. So we can, you know, he said he called anyone an idiot. He said useful idiots. She got offended. The Democrats got offended because they know that they are idiots.
Well, they are, and they're being used to, I don't know what extent. There was a hilarious satire article that says, after reviewing the most recent Democratic debate, Vladimir Putin has decided not to interfere in this election. It's all taken care of because that's exactly what this is. They are complete and utter idiots. But I think that they may, you know, maybe she's right because I don't know if they're useful anymore.
Yeah, they have to be useful to be useful idiots. Okay, so you know what, Nally and the Democrats, they're doing all this whole thing, and I truly believe because, you know, them sending the subpoena at 10 p.m., they were completely unprepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of going out of order here, but I think it's important that we play some of this real quick. Let's go to that, number six. This would doubt, he looks completely unprepared, mm-hmm. and it's completely ridiculous. Let's go to that.
Whoever suggests to the president or anyone else that you thought your communications with him were official White House communications?
Congressman, the White House has directed I not disclose the substance of any discussions with the president or his advisors to protect executive branch confidentiality. And I recognize this is not my privilege, but I am respecting the White House's decision.
Let me ask you some questions about your relationship with the president after he assumed office. How many times has the president asked you to meet him in the White House?
The White House has directed not disclose the substance of any discussions.
How many times did you meet with the president alone in the White House in 2017?
I don't know the answer to that.
How many times did he direct you to deliver a message to a member of his cabinet?
The White House has directed not disclose the substance of any discussions with the president.
Did he ever discuss with you any concerns that he may have committed a criminal offense?
The White House has directed not disclose the substance of any discussions with the president or his advisors to protect executive branch confidentiality.
Right,
I recognize this is not my privilege.
Mr. Chairman, I make a point of order. Pursuant to Clause 2J2A of Rule 111, that the gentleman is out of order, he has exceeded the time limit under the 5-minute rule.
I will enforce the time limit under the 5-minute rule.
I challenge the ruling. I challenge the ruling of the chair.
The ruling of the chair is challenged. All those in favor of overriding the rule of the chair will say aye. Opposed, no.
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 Roll call.
Those have it.
Roll call. I love it. He was waiting to say it too. Roll call. Roll call. You know, seriously, what should they expect?
Mm-hmm.
This is a complete circus. There's nothing there. To my understanding, He went before them four different times.
Right.
Four different times, and they expect to get something new all of a sudden?
Well, like you said, this is a distraction. This is to beta test whether or not they can get President Trump out of office through impeachment. And this is, again, to try to denigrate this guy. And luckily, Lewandowski has used this masterfully. He was in the recess tweeting out, by the way, buy my book. Go donate to my next campaign. I'm going to make...
Because he's trending, right? Why not? That's what you do. You trend. Don't buy any ads on Google, though, because they'll remove it. Or they won't let you buy any. Or Facebook won't either. All right, we'll be right back after this. Firepower.
Real news, real people, real politics. And now, Will Johnson.
You know, Congresswoman, I believe in this democracy of the United States, and I love this country. And I think while partisan politics is so important, I think the fact that we're the greatest, freest country in the world is paramount to everything that we do. And while we may disagree in this committee and I believe that this president has been treated exceptionally unfairly. I think at the end of the day, we all believe that a free and fair election is the best way and the best method for ensuring the safe and security of our democracy. Do I have concerns based on the 2016 election, seeing the abuses of a small minority that have impacted so many? You bet I do. Am I concerned that as our children and grandchildren grow up, we look back on this time in our nation's history and we say, that never should have been allowed, not to a Republican and never to a Democrat? You bet I do. But I think at the end of the day, partisan politics aside, and to Mr. Liu's point, we all love our country. We may have disagreements, but I don't think anybody wants to see someone not elected properly or the interference of foreign agents or individuals in this country to negatively impact the outcome of an election, because we are better than that. This country is the greatest country in the history of our planet, and we should never forget that. And sometimes, maybe just sometimes, partisan politics can take a backseat to doing what's right for our country.
You know what? I kind of question his statement about that we all love our love this country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if the Democrats really love this country, they would stop the charade and get on with the people's business.
That's right. No, they're obsessed with power. But, you know, one thing, and it goes back to what we were talking about with McCabe, he was very intentional, it seemed like, when he said some people in this country, because we all know who is really making a mockery of our elections, and
right,
that is likely going to be Andrew McCabe and members of the Obama administration. Russia did nothing. We meddle in Russia's elections far more than they meddle now.
Israel, other, Afghanistan,
right.
I mean, China, we meddle in everybody's election if we can.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what competing geopolitical powers do, but it's very rare to see an acting administration, the Obama administration, in conjunction with the FBI doing what they might have done to President Trump. So I think that, honestly, Lewandowski, he got a lot of flack during the latter days of his time in the Trump campaign. People would say, no, he's just a body man. He's campaign manager in name only. But if this man does indeed run for Congress, I hope he wins.
Yeah, he's hashtag Senate 2020.
That's right.
Right. You know, and that became a huge story in the left. It was like, oh, is he going to run? You know what? I hope he does run. And if he runs and he's look like he's going to make headway, I mean, because his name is trending right now, it'd be perfect time for him to do it. He's a Trump supporter and the left can't control him and they're going to be completely upset with him and they're going to try to, you know what? They're going to dig even more to try to find out dirt about him to try to discredit him.
Well, and they've been doing that for so long now. I honestly feel bad for the man. I mean, we all remember what happened with doofy Michelle Field saying she was assaulted by Lewandowski. And now it almost feels like, you know, this is really rerun season.
Maybe they're trying to impeach him before he
abused a woman. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Hashtag believe the woman, even if there is no woman, but still believe the woman.
Believe what men say, women say. That's where we're at this point.
Exactly. You know, I don't think that we should have to fight with other Americans for the sovereignty of this nation. We shouldn't have to fight with the, you know, I'm talking about Democrats. We shouldn't have to fight for them to keep everything civil. But you know what? The Democrats, I think they want us to be at each other's throats. They want all of us fighting. And they have no facts on anything that they're coming with. This whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
This whole hearing, this whole impeachment is a prime example of that. There's nothing there.
You just hit the nail on the head because, as we know, when we're at each other's throats, that's when they gain power. And they're getting more and more power with every bizarre encounter we have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I said the Democrats, they are the party of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they became the party of conflict. They are the party of conflict. And they're going to remain that way until they're just gone. And hopefully they'll be gone very soon. So we'll be right back after this. We're back, sitting in the studio.
From 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, only at band.video.
All right, we're back, sitting in the studio with me, live and direct, Tom Peppert. It is awesome to have you here with me to have the discussion about these crazy leftist We still have some more clips that we want to show you. Here's one where McClintock, he thinks that it's pretty clear that the president was being being treated unfairly, and he had done nothing wrong. I mean, personally, even on a personal level, I think the rest of the entire country understand that President Trump hasn't done anything wrong. If he did something wrong, don't you think they would have done something by now? Wouldn't they have something?
We've gotten so far into this guy's history. I mean, now we have his great aunt on his mother's side saying that when he was 15 years old, he stole her pancakes. I mean, that's what he's done wrong, apparently. This is how far back we're going. So, yeah, if he had forgot to dot an I across a T, we would know about it by now.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know what? He used more than one napkin or Kleenex when he blew his nose. So, I mean, my goodness.
Let's go to the environment.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to that clip.
Well, I think the record's pretty clear. The president was being treated unfairly, and he had done nothing wrong. Yet it's upon this pretext that the Democrats feel justified to invoke impeachment. The solemn power reserved to the Congress for treason, bribery, and other high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the power to nullify the constitutional election of the president of the United States, a decision made by the American people. Does that sound like an abuse of power in this case to you?
It does.
Certainly does to me, too. For more than 3 years now, our nation has been torn apart by this monstrous lie that the President of the United States was a willing agent of a hostile foreign power. I'd like to ask you, where do you think this whole lie of Russian collusion started?
You know, Congressman, I don't have the facts on it, but I think when Inspector General Horowitz has the privilege of coming here and testifying, he'll testify that this began at the highest levels of the government and was perpetrated through the intelligence community to come up with a narrative of why Hillary Clinton lost the campaign as opposed to the real narrative of why Donald Trump won the campaign.
And they don't want to talk to Andrew McCabe either, right?
No, they're afraid. They are desperately afraid. And really, maybe that's what this is, Will. This is the big last hurrah before we finally get some truth that we'll find. I hope that's what this is. I hope we finally get the truth, because Collins was absolutely right. It's rerun. We've seen President Trump being abused, yep, lied about, denigrated for yep his entire presidency now. We've seen Mueller come and go, and every single time I think you and me are sitting there thinking, finally, it's over. Lewandowski went before Congress. It's over. And we just, it keeps coming and coming and coming. So I hope we finally get, again, you've got Lewandowski doing the media's job and hinting of what's to come.
Exactly. But you know what? They're petty. All of this is petty.
Right.
It's 100% petty, and the Democrats are being called out for their pettiness, and it's like they don't know how to handle it. Sometimes I wonder, it's like, what's going through their mind? Do they really believe that the American people are so dumbed down that they're going to believe all of this stuff? I believe that's what they believe. I mean, the liberal media the same way, that right, they put out these right false narratives, these lies, and they say, well, maybe it's their base. Well, we know that everyone who's watching us is going to believe us, so mm-hmm we don't have to worry about that because they're stupid. So we have another clip that I want to play for you. This one's a short one. This is how they should be focusing on their jobs, but they're not. Let's go to it.
In conclusion, and it's sad to say, this country has spent over 3 years and $40 million taxpayer dollars on these investigations, and it's now clear that the investigation was populated by many Trump haters who had their own agenda to take down a duly elected president of the United States. As for actual collusion or conspiracy, there was none. What there has been, however, is harassment of this president from the day he won the election. We as a nation would be better served if elected officials like yourself concentrated your efforts to combat the true crises facing our country, as opposed to going down rabbit holes like this hearing. Instead of focusing on petty and personal politics, the committee focused on solving the challenges of this generation. Imagine how many people we could help, or how many lives we could save.
It really says something that, again, Congress doesn't have the guts, doesn't have the tenacity to actually do this, and it's some random guy who they subpoena. That's who's telling them to do their job. That's the state of our Congress. No wonder these people get less and less popular every year. And you know, Will, you said something important right before we watched that, well, the people watching them must believe it. So it's okay if the people watching them believe it.
Yeah.
That's all they're trying to reach. But the problem is more and more people are tuning out every single year, and this is why. This is why nobody trusts Congress. This is why nobody trusts the media.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And then it's like, what does their support really look like? I mean, seriously, if you think about it, because if I'm a Democrat, thank God I'm not. If I was a Democrat and I'm sitting there looking at this, I'm like, one that if you have two brain cells rubbed together, you would think they'd be like, okay, you know what? Enough is enough. Let's stop doing this because it's not working.
Right.
I mean, President Trump hasn't done anything wrong. But the problem is you have a lot of Democrats who say, oh yeah, he did do real stuff wrong. He colluded with Russia. I'm like, where's the proof of that? And then now they're even moving to the point that we're saying that Russia even hacked the voting machines and changed votes, knowing good and well that did not happen.
And meanwhile, who actually owns the voting machines? It's a Soros. Associate of Soros.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
It's almost beautiful, though.
You would think that Soros would have went ahead and like slipped that in there, make a phone call. Hey, put the code in there. You know something.
Yeah. I mean, but it is almost beautiful, Will, because now we have Democrats out there saying, we need paper ballots, which I've been pushing for since I was 15 years old. We need paper ballots. So thank you, George Soros, and thank you, Vladimir Putin. I don't know who to thank, but it's a good result. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have another clip for you. This is one with Ratcliffe, and he's talking about the 135 Democrats and socialists. Personally, I just call them all socialists. Socialist Democrats.
That's right.
I mean, my opinion. So let's go to this clip.
So, as it turns out, all 200, nearly 200 pages of the Mueller report and the analysis of, in volume two of obstruction of justice was done under a legal standard and legal burden of proof that is not recognized and ever been used before in American jurisprudence. But the party of impeachment are going to gloss over that today. They're also going to gloss over the fact that the inspector general criminally referred the FBI director who leaked the information to get the special counsel in the first place, and the same inspector general who found that facts establishing that same FBI director was in fact targeting Donald Trump at the same time in an investigation where he said he wasn't investigating Donald Trump. Now, you might think that this committee would be interesting in hearing from that inspector general for the first time rather than hearing from you for the fourth time. But maybe you can be helpful, because the party of impeachment, they don't care, Mr. Lewandowski, what kind of impeachment you can deliver for them. There are 135 Democrats and socialists in the House of Representatives that have publicly come out for impeachment. They're in agreement the president needs to be impeached.
The party of impeachment. That's exactly what they are. They have nothing else. Everything else that they try to do against the president has fell flat on its face. I mean, they brought prostitutions up against him. They brought other women trying to say he's older than them. They're trying to get his taxes when he was a private citizen, which personally, I don't think he should show them because he was a private citizen.
That's
now,
right.
The time that he was in office, that's a different story. The $1 that he paid himself every year, put that on the taxes and run with it.
Oh, wow. I'm so shocked by this. Now, you're right, Will. They're just idiots. They're not useful idiots. But I know we only got a minute left here, and I just have to say, my friend, that while I'm in Austin this week, I'm making it my personal mission to try Turbo Force and orange juice.
Really?
I've got to do it.
Dude. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Right now, there's a special going on. You can get Turbo Force for 50% off the retail price with free shipping. Just use the promo code FIREPOWER. Just use the promo code FIREPOWER at InfoWarsStore.com. When you get the Turbo Force, you get it 50% off the retail price plus free shipping. I mean, my goodness. It's almost like they're giving it away. This is amazing. So, before you go, we'll have to get it all on camera. We have to get it on camera. We can't do it at night, though, because if you do it at night, you won't go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll try to make a point to do it sometime in the morning, tomorrow.
Right at the start of the show or something like that. Or just record.
Maybe tomorrow. Yeah, we'll record. We'll try to record something.
Off with
yes.
Firepower.
50%
I don't know
off.
I've never seen a deal like that.
Me either, actually. So InfoWarsStore.com.
point of order. According to the rules, and the rules of this committee and the House rules, we cannot attribute derogatory names to our colleagues or motives to our colleagues. And I believe the gentleman said those on the other side of the aisle are idiots. This is a very sacred and somber responsibility. I've taken an oath of office, my good friend, just like you did. I am concerned about the Constitution just as you are, and I would not engage in any behavior that could be described as idiot. Never in my life or my colleagues have we ever discussed behaving like idiots. Mr. Chairman, that is an inappropriate terminology and description of the members of this House or Republicans or Democrats, no matter what position they are.
Mr. Chairman, I will overrule the point of order. The rules of decorum refer to motive. Calling someone an idiot is not flattering, but it does not go to motive. And I believe we should have the most robust debate. I believe we should respect each other, but I don't think we should. I don't think that goes to motive, and accordingly, I'm going to overrule the point of order. General, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I didn't call anybody an idiot. I said useful idiot. And secondly, I asked the witness whether he believed that as part of Vladimir Putin's strategy, Vladimir Putin was being aided by useful idiots in America. Your answer, sir.
You know, Congressman, I can't be sure to the motives of Vladimir Putin or the Russians wanting to interfere with the election process in 2016, but I can be certain of one thing. Donald Trump was a private citizen at the time, and he had no more responsibility or authority to secure the integrity of the 2016 election cycle than I did. That responsibility fell to the intelligence community and the Obama-Biden administration. They clearly failed. Never did they contact, under my tenure, me to inform
me. It's very clever to call it the Obama-Biden administration.
Any potential hacking, which may have been transpiring.
I don't think that'll go well for candidate Biden, if he can even speak today. Who knows?
Potential security violations as it related to the election. And so I think Mr. Comey, Mr. Brennan, and Mr. Clapper ultimately own the responsibilities as the head of the intelligence community to understand why they did not do a better job of protecting the American electorate in 2016 to ensure we didn't have foreign interference.
And Mr. Lewandowski, had they contacted you, what would have been your response in terms of notifying others on the election in terms of their dealing with Russians?
We would have worked with them. I would have recommended working through counsel to work with them to notify them of any potential contacts, which I don't ever recall having. But if we would have had any, I would have made sure we notified the appropriate authorities immediately.
Thank you. I yield back.
See, that's the appropriate thing to do. Mm-hmm. But because nothing ever happened, they're trying to make it up.
Right. Well, and it's obvious to anybody who's really paying attention that this whole Russia thing was concocted in large by the Obama administration. We had the meeting with Don Jr. at Trump Tower. This has all been concocted. So if and when President Trump won, and thank God Almighty that he did, they would immediately have fodder that they could use to try to tear the man apart. That's what we're seeing here. And it's a disgrace that it's played out across 3 years. And I appreciate that, again, Corey Lewandowski, of all people, the unlikely hero of the month, he's the one coming out and calling this what it is. It's a farce.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So the party of impeachment, okay, I'm going to change it up a little bit because the Democrats, you know, right now they're going after President Trump because everything else fell flat on his face. They're trying to impeach him or trying to get it to get America to be distracted, right?
Right.
But Brett Kavanaugh, them coming up, I'm going to go back to Brett Kavanaugh because Brett Kavanaugh, he's just doing his job. He's out of sight, out of mind, you know, right. But he still holds a seat on the Supreme Court justice. That is a problem for the Democrats.
They're not happy about it.
Yeah. And RGB, or as a RBG, she's about to check out. Not saying a check out a bad way, but she doesn't look like she's going to be able to uphold the position too much longer.
She's been very, very sick. I mean, I do wonder what kind of person, when she obviously has family, she has people who love her. She's spending, it could be her last months.
Exactly, exactly. Resisting. And I think she's going to probably, I don't know. We'll see. But anyway.
She retires, I'll put it that way.
But anyways, we have a clip that I want to play from, this is a Times reporter, how they're kind of admitting that they didn't even talk to the lady that supposedly
had the episode of with Brett Kavanaugh. It's crazy. So let's go to that clip.
Okay, we are back with Robin Pogerman and Kate Kelly, authors of the new book just out today, The Education of Brett Kavanaugh, An Investigation. Okay, let's get into the substance of the book. So one of the things that we've been talking about is this other revelation. So not Debbie Ramirez, not Christine Blasey Ford, but a third woman who eyewitnesses or an eyewitness says the same thing that happened to Debbie Ramirez, which is Brett Kavanaugh exposing himself and forcing his body onto a woman happened at yet another party. One more time. Did you speak to that woman?
I tried to reach her, and she had no interest in addressing these allegations. The one way in which she would engage with me is she was a close friend of Deborah Ramirez, one of her best friends. And so she ultimately drafted a statement about her support of Deborah Ramirez and Deborah Ramirez's integrity and basically,
but not about Brett Kavanaugh.
Not about herself.
She would have no motivation to make up a story like this.
Why this passes for journalism in 2019. Yeah, my source wouldn't talk to me, but I'm running the story anyway.
Exactly.
And I mean, let's remember that this was a drunken party, and it's conceivable that people don't always remember what happened.
Oh, stop it right there. This is a drunken party. So basically, she's saying that you were too drunk, lady. So you have to believe what I'm telling you. Hashtag believe me, I'm a woman, that you were too drunk. And Kavanaugh did all of this, what we're saying. You have to believe it because you were too drunk to remember.
I mean, this is a new sick form of victim blaming almost. You know, okay, so we have this alleged victim who says she's not a victim, by the way. But then we're going to say that this victim is so stupid that they don't even know they're a victim. This is baffling.
You can't even make it up.
Okay. If my website did this, I'd be sued into oblivion.
All right, let's go back to the clip.
Drunken people, you know, Brett was taken over to her by his friends. They were drunk. She was drunk. And they put his penis in her hand. Why this is meaningful is...
Well, now he was raped, too.
...perspective is you actually have someone who is named, who is known...
Didn't she just say they put his in her
hand? Rick Kavanaugh is now a sexual assault victim. Hashtag believe all men.
And Max Steyer tried to...
Wow.
...talk to the FBI.
He's a sexual assault victim.
Senator Chris Coons wrote a letter to Christopher Wray, the FBI director, specifically directing him to talk to Max Steyer early
October. Very obvious victim shaming going on.
The investigation was underway. This because Steyer was not having luck getting through to the investigating authorities.
And we did have Chris Coons on the program earlier. But why won't Max Steyer come forward publicly to talk about this if he felt so strongly?
I have a pretty good understanding of that from the reporting that I've done, and that is that...
From the reporting from the sources that wouldn't talk to her.
Which is an eyewitness account, something he saw. He thought it was important to the process. He went to the relevant authorities. Once Kavanaugh was confirmed, his work was done. Once this guy is on the court, he had no interest in making this.
How is the eyewitness if everybody was drunk?
The designated driver. Well, Will, I'm sorry, but I was talking to somebody who, in 1992, he witnessed you do something untoward to a woman. So I'm sorry, but they're going to have to cancel Fire Power.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, because someone, you know what, we need to get drunk first. and then we believe it. Believe the alcohol.
Believe alcohol.
Believe the alcohol. Yeah, hashtag believe the alcohol. All right, we'll be back after this.
FirePowerNews.com. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right. Welcome back. We have Tom Pepper in studio with me. Man, I'm really happy that you're here.
I'm glad.
I like the vibe. We're having a good time here. So let's talk about one of the presidential candidates.
Pocahontas?
Yes, Pocahontas. Elizabeth Warren. She's saying that you and I have we should have reproductive rights. I mean, I'm not sure how that works, but she's saying it. So, do we get like a benefit? What's the benefits of that? So let's go to this short clip with her saying it so everyone knows
Because I don't want us to be like, oh, you're saying fake news. She didn't say that. A man having reproductive rights? Let's go to that clip and find out for yourself.
But the second part is to make sure that we provide basic health care for every American, and that includes the full range of reproductive rights for women and for men.
For both of them.
Are we talking trans men? Or?
And then I'm suspecting that's what she's saying. A woman that, you know, is wanting to be a man, you know, you have reproductive rights.
We were talking about this in the break, and I have I'm coming out right here now. I identify as a uterus, and I demand free health care.
Free healthcare for your uterus.
Yes.
You know, I think that they go to no end in their insanity. And we don't have this clip, but I saw something earlier today with Pete Buttigieg and and, or, you know, some people call him, you know, butt plug or whatever.
But say you do a great job of pronouncing that name.
Beat,
Buttigieg.
Yeah. I just say Pete Buttigieg, but anyways. Butt plug. Okay, I hear you in there. So,
you've been admonished, Mr. Producer. Anyway.
Well, he was on there saying that, you know, we have to do things differently. We can't do like the old politicians. We have to go outside of our norm on talking to people and how we want to change the country or take the country forward. Basically, he's saying we need to be completely insane. We need to be completely crazy and go as far as we can. And you know what? They're almost like giving a pass for the insanity.
That's right. Well, you know, Will, I actually really adore this because you could not come up with better rhetoric for our side. I mean, and the real best part of this is by time Michelle Obama decides to run, we're going to learn the truth about Michelle Obama because she's going to be able to do it. That's where this is leading. They're obvious. I mean, they're getting more and more insane. So just having a black woman president, that's not enough. Let's throw in a curveball in here that Alex Jones is John Rivers hit on this. And then she'll be stunning and brave enough because that's what this comes down to. They're just outdoing each other. We saw it in the clown show last week. They're just out. Who can say the craziest thing? It's like your drunk uncle at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So basically they're not a baseball, but it's going to be a softball on the curve.
Oh, no.
Okay. Come on, Creepy Joe. You know what? If we didn't have conservative Christians in this nation, they would give Creepy Joe a pass. Here, let's go look at some footage about Creepy Joe. We're going to go to that right now. So let's look at this.
Are you bored yet?
You stay behind.
Isn't it kind of boring? See you, beautiful child.
All right, guys.
On and on.
Time to wrap it up, Jacob.
I got four granddaughters. Beautiful granddaughters like you guys. And guess what? The granddaughter guys look at the family members. Anything is
tough. I mean, look at them. I mean, seriously?
So with Kavanaugh, we're saying some drunk person saw this at a party 30 years ago. With Joe Biden, there's probably 15 hours of him sniffing little girls, and he gets a pass.
It's pretty disgusting. Look at him. I mean, seriously, it's like, it must be like a fetish for him. I mean, dude, get your hands off the little girl. And then I saw there's a clip, the MSNBC clip, where they're trying to say that conservatives are pedophiles. And you can see right here, Joe Biden, I mean, look at him. I mean, dude.
It's not normal behavior. I mean, he did that apology video a few months ago where, by the way, he wasn't apologizing to children. He was apologizing to the grown adult women who he's made feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, well,
but
I apologize for getting caught.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And I acknowledge the times have changed and that I can't go around sniffing people all I want anymore. But nobody has ever, aside from Bandot Video, Firepower News, nobody in the mainstream media has called him out for sniffing little girls. What is going on with
that?
I mean,
it's crazy. Can you imagine if this was President Trump? The Hollywood sex tape where they said President Trump grabbed it. Mm-hmm. They go on and on and on and on. But here he is funneling children, and they're not even, and he's still at the top of the ticket?
Right.
I mean, this is the top of their ticket?
The guy's missing a third of his brain. He scratches and sniffs every little girl he comes across. He apparently had a big fight with a guy named Corn Pop, and this is the best they have to offer.
I saw that. Yeah, he had a fight with Corn Pop.
With Corn
Pop.
Back
in the day. It was a violent gang member named Corn Pop, and everybody like, what in the world is he talking about? Corn Pop? Corn Pop, you know what? Biden, you know what? Let me say this. Let me say this. Let's be clear. Good for him for being the oldest he is, trying to get out there and trying to do something. He's not going to win. he doesn't have the stamina like President Trump.
Mm.
He can't function, but you know, at least he's been blessed to be on this earth long enough to at least try. And I hope one day that I can be old enough and, you know, maybe a little senile. I mean, I see it as a blessing to be at that age, right, and be there, you know, so, but still, he says some of the dumbest things, and I think he's kind of happy that he says some of the dumbest things. We have a clip, a really short one, that proves exactly what I just said about him being happy about being dumb. Play that. Play it a couple times. Play it back to back.
Some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again. And I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again. And I've done some dumb things.
And this was
and
in I'll the do 80s. Dumb things that is again. Incredibly self-aware.
I've done some dumb things.
Maybe
I'll do dumb things again.
He knew he was going to do some dumb things.
I've done some dumb things. And I'll do dumb things
again. Corn Pop was a bad dude. I love it.
Yeah.
I'll do dumb things again.
And really, I mean, I know we're like 3 days late to the clip, but we should have called up Juicy Smollett on that one, because the guy, Joe Biden, got a chain, a 6-foot chain, and was going to go lynch Corn Pop. This is the major Democrat candidate right now.
Yeah.
He said some dumb things, and he'll continue to do them again.
You know what? I mean, it's pretty entertaining. I mean, Sleepy Joe. And he's out there, Sleepy Uncle Joe, and they're not telling him to go ahead and step down, because he was the first vice president for the first black president. And that's how they're rolling with it. Like, oh yeah, he's like the golden child right now, or the golden old white man. They're giving him a pass, because, you know, they constantly talk about how they don't like white men specifically, but creepy Sleepy Joe. You just mentioned a minute ago that, Michelle Obama is going to eventually get in. I can kind of see it happening, but if that doesn't happen, I think it's going to be Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, and crazy Kamala Harris.
I think you might be onto something. I think we're in a very unique time with the Democrat Party, because Bernie Sanders forced them to relinquish a lot of the control that the party leaders had, where last time they just rammed Hillary Clinton down everybody's throat, whether they liked it or not. And so I still think the party elites want Joe Biden. They don't want today's Joe Biden. They want the Joe Biden from 20 years ago, but they got what they've got. And I think we're getting to the point where the voters are going to end up deciding on, I think you're right, Elizabeth Warren. And then the party insiders will be made happy by putting in Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she was just in New York and had a rally. And they were talking about all of the people that showed up for Elizabeth Warren's rally. And they were saying, they were so excited that people showed up for her. She's just as nutty as the rest of them.
Yep.
And they're all socialists, and they want to destroy everything. She wants to take our guns too.
Oh, absolutely.
She's for it too. I mean, she's not coming out as strong as crazy Beto did, but Francis O'Rourke. Robert Francis O'Rourke. But they all want to do it. And President Trump is spot on when he's talking about they're going to come for your guns. So anyone who's watching right now, you're not paying attention to what these socialist communist Democrats are doing, how they want to take our Second Amendment rights away. You're going to be a victim, and you are going to be a casualty of this war. You are going to be a casualty. All right, we'll be back after this. All right. Good times, good times. Sitting in the studio with me, Mr. Tom Pepper. It's been an honor for you to be here with me. And I love this ride that we've been on, this journey. Having a great time. Let's talk about some more of the Democrats. I like talking about the Democrats because they, personally, I think they're the problem in this country. And I have people, progressives, constantly sending me messages, and they're saying, Will, you need to stop talking about us progressives that were so evil and were so bad and stuff like that. And my reply to them, I said, well, stop doing the stuff that you're doing and I'll stop talking about it.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, look at me. And I've had this conversation with multiple progressives.
I mean, the ones that will have a conversation
the
with
The few
me.
That'll talk. That's right.
Yeah, what, and I mean, I the crazy thing is I enjoyed the conversation with them.
Right.
I won't tell them that. But, I mean, I really do. I enjoy the conversation, but they just keep doing all of these crazy things. Elizabeth Warren, for example, now that a man can have, you know, reproductive
we
rights.
We can have babies, Will. She decided
yeah, exactly.
for us.
Exactly. Exactly. Both men and women. I mean, it's like, where do you go? The society that we're in right now, and we have to look at this insanity from the left that's coming at us. I think part of the reason why America is in the situation that it's in right now, because there were not enough good men and women in the past to say anything.
You're exactly right. I mean, that is the biggest issue that we have. I love baby boomers. There's some great baby boomers. But look, it was the baby boomer generation that got us into this place. They allowed the left to do their long march through the institutions. Now you have academia, you have media, you have social media, you have Congress. Mm. There are literal communists, they call themselves socialists,
yep.
in every single facet of these, and they're just destroying every little bit of American society. We have uteruses now. toddlers get to go to drag queen story hour. This is all normal.
2 + 2 can equal something else. It's the 4 wants to identify as something else. I mean, that's where we are. It's crazy. So, you know, one of the things that the Democrats that they're doing is that they're putting illegals before the American people.
Right.
And I've confronted some politicians and, you know, I've actually confronted Kamala Harris.
Mm.
And one of the authors in California named Kevin De Leon, I confronted him at one of his meetings and I yelled out big as day, why are you putting illegals before the American people? And, you know, the response was just, of course, but you are. So we have a clip. This is a short clip where the Democrats are putting. Listen, you know what? Let's fact check myself. Let's go to this clip here.
So Democrats put illegal aliens before American citizens. Republicans believe that we must take care of our own citizens first. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes, America first.
And they say this is racist.
Yeah.
That includes millions of hardworking, lawful immigrants who waited in line, followed the rules, and came into our country legally.
Mm. So he's okay with people coming into the country.
And among those hardest hit by illegal immigration are Hispanic Americans who obey our laws, pay their taxes, contribute to our communities, and play by the rules. And they're the ones that want to see something done.
Yes. You know what? They're the ones that want to see something done. They're the ones that want, they came in there, they paid their dues.
Right.
They did everything that they're supposed to. And then now the Democrats are just like undermining everything that they did. I'm like, oh, you don't matter. We're just going to let the floodgates open. It's not right.
Well, and it is fascinating to see, and it will be very interesting to see if the polls bore true that more and more Hispanics are going to vote for President Trump. And I can understand why, because exactly like you said, this is in some cases a decade long process that people are getting their residence, getting their visa, getting their green card, getting their citizenship status. It's a long process for people who love this country. Then the left says if somebody who comes into this country illegally, whether they overstay a visa, whether they're trafficked in, 86% of women get raped coming up from Central America, whatever way they come in, it doesn't matter. They're just as important. It is a slap in the face to these people. I think President Trump is right.
He's 100% right, you know, and you have the left. The way they get at President Trump, they go, oh, the children.
Right.
The children, you know, on the border. He's prison camps, concentration camps. They're separating the children. You would think that they would be happy that they're separating the children from these monsters.
Right.
I mean, there's been cases where these monsters get these kids and the parents in the country, they're selling them off to these monsters and then they're raping them
right.
day in and day out. And in some cases, they're killing them. But the Democrats, the left, you hear nothing from them about it because they don't want people to really recognize that we have monsters actually doing this with the children. And they have the nerve, the audacity to sit there and say that they're for children.
And Will, this is every day. We had an article up at nationalfile.com just a few weeks ago where a child was sold for, I believe it was $4,000, a 10-year-old boy. This is human slavery, but then you look beyond that. I don't know what you're going to do with a 10-year-old boy. I don't think they can, I don't think they can do much manual labor. I don't think that they're a mechanic. I think that this is child sex slavery, and it's coming up from the southern border. Yeah. It's disgusting.
And they want to act like it's not happening, but they'll say, oh, but you're separating the children.
Thank God.
I know, right? I mean, you should.
Yeah.
If you really care about the children, you should separate them to make sure that they're not with monsters.
Right.
You know? I mean, how do you do that? You have to find out. You have to find out.
Do a DNA test. It doesn't take that long.
Absolutely.
And if these people are so desperate, they're coming here, the big thing that they say is, oh, they're a refugee. It's a refugee. Well, if they want to get refugee status, then let's make sure it's a nice little nuclear family and not a rapist with their newly purchased child.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, President Trump had his rally last night. The last clip was from his rally last night.
Right.
And there's a clip in here that there's a segment in here where President Trump was saying that the Democrats are going to try to take our guns. They're coming for our guns, right? So I think we should fact check President Trump. Okay. So we're going to play this clip for you. It's a short clip where President Trump is talking about the Democrats wanting to take our guns away. And then we're going to fact check President Trump. Okay. We're going to fact check President Trump. So let's go to this clip, and we'll fact check him after this.
Confiscate your guns and eliminate your God-given right to self-defense. You know that. As your president, I will never allow them to take away your liberty, your dignity, your Social Security. And I will never, ever allow them to take away your sacred right to keep and bear arms.
Yeah. Yeah. See? Okay. So he just said that the Democrats are going to try to take our guns.
That's right.
Right. So let's fact check President Trump. If this is the agenda from the left. Now, a lot of people say, you know, like Obama, Hillary Clinton, they all say that, oh, they're not going to take your guns. They're not going to take your guns. They're not going to take your guns. So let's fact check President Trump with this next video.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah. Oh, there it is right there.
Fact check true.
There it is right there. He said it on the national stage, and you hear a whole bunch of idiots or useful idiots in the audience, in the crowd, cheering him on.
Right. You know, that crowd, anytime you hear them cheering, I run for the hills. Whatever they're cheering for is complete and utter evil. But yes, the Democrats, this is Beto, who a year ago, by the way, was saying, when he was running against Ted Cruz, was saying, we're not going to take your guns. If you like your gun, keep your, it's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
If you like your gun, you can keep it. Now here he is. I think this is the real Beto that we're seeing now, saying, hell yeah, we're going to take your guns. Of course we are. So yes, President Trump, Republicans are vindicated every single day with these people.
Absolutely. It's what we just witnessed with that debate with the Democrats is the true sinister agenda behind the Democrats.
That's right.
And he just let the cat out the bag. And right now they're upset with him for doing that. I watched the Communist News Network just to hear what they're going to say. Hey, maybe get a clip or two, but you know, they're on there saying, yeah, this is going to hurt us come the general election because they're going to bring that back. Because have you heard any of the candidates say that, no, we're not going to take the AK-47s? I haven't heard any of them.
The best we've had is Biden, who he wants to take the guns constitutionally.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to take the Second Amendment. But anyways, we're right at the end here. Tomorrow you're here, right?
That's right. I'm here through Friday.
Awesome. Awesome. Good deal. So we're going to rock the house. It's been an honor. So tomorrow we have another special guest that's going to be in studio with us.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So it's going to be good times. Good times. All right. This is Will Johnson and Tom Pepper. This is Firepower. Thank you for joining, and thank you for going to band.video and sharing that link. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. God bless you. God bless America. And we'll see you tomorrow evening. God bless.